Learning about your past lives, can it really heal you in this life? Today we're going to go on a journey. Stephanie Alix is an investigative journalist, author of the bestseller, The Test, went on a journey and discovered who he was in a past life. And today we're going to go on that journey with him. We're going to talk about his book, When I Was Someone Else, The Incredible True Story of a Past Life Connection. And I'm excited to how he discovered his past life, how he validated it, and what he has done with the knowledge. I'm Tony Sweet for Truth Be Told, and please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, Stephanie Alix. Hello, hello.
Hello, Tony.
Thank you so much for being here and doing this all the way from France. I'm excited to have you here.
It's a great pleasure for me. Thank you very much.
Of course. Well, I'm excited because past life and near-death experience is something that I'm fascinated about because, you know, many of us on this planet, you know, we know our time is short in our lifetime. And so we're always asking, what's next? What's next? What's next? Is there something after this? And you got that experience. And I'm excited to talk about your book, When I Was Someone Else. How did, let's get right into it. How did you, before that, did you have any paranormal experiences where you had envisioned, because I know you went on a journey down to South America, but before that, did you go on any type of, you know, dream states or, you know, psychics giving you readings about your past life before, or was this something that gradually...
No, not really. Just to clarify for the audience, I'm a journalist basically, and right. I was war correspondent for 15 years, and I was absolutely not familiar with such a topic of unexplained phenomena or any topics like that. But 20 years ago, I lost one of my brother in a car accident in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
We were working together there, and. Of course, his death brought back a lot of questions. You know, this kind of question we may have when we are children or before being adult, we are wondering what we are doing here on Earth. Is there a purpose of life? Is there a meaning? Is there something happening after? But all those questions for, like many people, I stopped my job as a journalist and I stopped caring about it. Until I was confronted directly by with the death of my brother. So it brought me to start to investigate the topic we are talking together today, afterlife and all extraordinary experience with the eyes of a journalist, investigating journalist. I am not interested in belief. I'm interested in fact, in science.
Right.
And to my amazement, I discovered that using my tool as a journalist, I can collect facts, evidence, and science on all those extraordinary topics, like past life, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to emphasize about that because my approach is a very rational approach. And for a long time, I didn't pay attention to my intuitive ability, if I may have some. So I was not... looking at myself, I was not interested in looking at my so-called past life or any topic like that. I was more investigating, and what we are going to talk today really happened by surprise.
what was that surprise? Many people that encounter their own psychic abilities is because of a near-death experience. And a lot of times when they come back from near-death experiences, their psychic abilities are enhanced because of it. My grandfather, you know, he had a near-death experience back in the 60s before I was even born. And he definitely, you know, had an intuition. I mean, he never really talked about it, but so I find it fascinating when people talk about their past lives. I did have a past life regression once, which I thought, oh, I'm too ADD. There's no way I could. And I actually did have the an experience. And I also looked something up and it was true, which shocked me. I even got a name. So I want to know, on your trip, or what led you to go to South America? Was it to find yourself? Was it a news story? Was it what was the trip for?
Yeah, to find myself, basically. You know, right. One of the most important thing I understood working on consciousness since a couple of years is that we may have many lives, but this time we have only one. So we need to use it properly,
right?
To pay attention to who we are deep inside of us, beyond our cultural knowledge, mm-hmm. or beyond the will of our parents or the society, who we are, how we can express ourselves the best. So I try to dedicate time every year to offer myself a time of retreat to have a kind of point of life review, where I am, mm-hmm. what I want to do. So my meeting with shamanism helps me a lot also to investigate myself and to go into those other realms. So I used to go to Peru one every 2 or 3 years for a few weeks retreat. So I am alone in the jungle. I may join some ayahuasca ceremony, but it's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to be alone in the forest,
right.
With a kind of shamanic diet. Just to be in front of myself, basically. So on this time, it was a couple of years ago, I had a very, very frantic life in France, because I drive a TV show, I have books, I have a magazine, I have an institute. So right. I really needed to have a break. So when I went to Peru, I wanted to really cut everything, not having phone call, not having email, not having any contact with anyone except my wife sometimes. I wanted to be really, really alone. And I remember I wrote in my diary while I was in the plane going to Peru, I want to meet myself. I don't know why I wrote that. I wanted to meet who I am, like maybe some listener, I have some problem in my life. Sometimes I'm not happy, I don't know why. Sometimes I feel sad, I don't know why. Sometimes I feel frustrated, I don't know why. Sometimes we can observe that we are driven by forces or energy that doesn't seem to belong to us, mm-hmm. but we don't go to think it's a past life memory. We just believe it's part of us. So I wanted to understand who I was more deeply and more precisely. So for this, I just went in the jungle and I start my journey isolated in a little house in the forest. And the story happened maybe a week or so after my arrival in Peru. One day, I decided to do a shamanic journey with the drumming sound, not with ayahuasca or any substance, just the drumming. So I had an ear set, I put it on my ear, and I start playing the drum. So it makes dum 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 dum, and it helps the brainwave to dissociate for you to travel more easily in the other realm. I mean, it's the basic of the core shamanism.
Right.
So I put my ear set. I lay down on my couch, and I play the drumming, and I close my eyes, and I start imagining myself like if I was a bird. So I start flying above the forest in the jungle. I knew it was my imagination, and I knew imagination is the it helps you to beginning for a beginning of a trip. And suddenly, very quickly, something happened that was quite weird. I was flying over the forest, but suddenly the landscape was not anymore forest. It was not anymore green. It became white. So I fly down, and when I arrive on the ground, I saw all the landscape of snow or dust, white as dust. It was snow. And I saw soldiers, German soldiers. I instantly knew it was German soldiers. They were fighting. They were advancing behind two tanks that was advancing toward a village. I don't know where it was. I didn't have any information except that one of the men was in front of me, and I knew his name was Alexander, and I knew his rank in the army was Obersturmführer. So I was quite in shock because at this moment, I thought it was my imagination making this up. So I was very surprised that my imagination bring back such a scenario because it was totally unexpected. But the more curious is that I saw this Alexander who was really in front of me, maybe 1 meter in front of me, he was staring at me and suddenly he was hit by a shrapnel on the neck and blood started to flow out of his neck and he died and he fell down on the ground in front of me. And I was very surprised. I mean, why did I imagine that? I mean, it was so unexpected, so emotional, so powerful. And suddenly the guy, Alexander, stood back. He was again in front of me, staring at me, and the scene repeated itself. The scene of his death repeated itself maybe 4 or 5 times.
Oh, wow.
So I was so surprised that I think in my mind, because I was conscious, I was not sleeping. I still have my eyes closed, but I was very conscious. So I said, wow, maybe I can know his name. And suddenly I had a vision of a kind of identity card appearing with the name of Hermann. So this guy was probably Alexander Hermann, Obersturmführer. So the vision lasts for the time of the time of the drumming, 30 minutes, something like that. And when the drum stopped, I had some other vision of this guy. I keep being with this guy, this Alexander Hermann. And when it stopped, I opened my eyes. I was very surprised by the intensity of the emotion. So I write all the detail of the vision in my diary, but really honestly, Tony, at this time, I could not believe it was a past life memory. I just thought it was my imagination who brought me a very powerful scenario,
right.
like a dream when you are in psychotherapy. That was it. So it's only when I went back in France a couple of weeks after that I start Googling the name Alexander Hermann Obersturmführer that I find that a real guy did exist with his name. But believe me or not, at this time, I really thought it was a coincidence. Because as I told you, I'm very mental journalist and sometimes
right.
It's kind of difficult, but in between two options, I'm always choosing the more rational one. And the more rational one at this time, it was, oh, it's a coincidence. So I just left it for more than 1 year without working on it,
wow.
Without doing anything. And it's only 1 year after that I start again my research. And I went a little bit further in this research. And this is when my mind was totally blown away.
Now, during that year, was it, 'cause I'm a big family tree, you know, researcher too. I've been doing it since I was a teenager, and I go through my phases, you know, like, oh, for a year I won't, you know, do research. And then I get this like need to do it. Was that something that in that year, was it like that little voice in the back of your head that just kept bringing his name back up? Or was it just a gut feeling that I was supposed to just keep looking to see who this person is?
Sometimes, but it was very light and subtle. For instance, a couple of months after my return from Peru, I received a healing from a French healer that I know. And during the healing, this woman had her hand on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly had the vision again, the same vision of the death
wow.
of Alexander Hermann. And more surprisingly, this woman also had without, we didn't spoke to each other. She had also the same vision. So it was weird. I mean, it was weird, but I didn't know what to do with it because I am not historian. I'm journalist, so I know to do an investigation, but I didn't believe at this time it was worth to be investigated because I could not believe it could be real, really at this time. During that year, it came back time to time, maybe three or four times in my mind. But I was really considering it as a part of myself on a psychological point of view. You know, I was war correspondent when I start my career as a journalist.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe my unconscious brought me this kind of war scenario to help me to understand a part of myself fascinated with war and violence or whatever. So it didn't drive me to investigate more until the 1 year passed.
I don't know if you know who Sylvia Brown is. She was one of the biggest, you know, psychic mediums in the world. Unfortunately, she passed away several years ago, but I had a reading with her in the 90s, and she talked about my past lives, which was very fascinating because I grew up in the Bible Belt, you know, so I, you know, anything you do paranormal, you kind of get a cringe because it's like, oh, it's going against the religion. But it was fascinating because she starts talking about, I've had many past lives. And like I'm sure a lot of people have, we just don't know about it. But she said many of them were like spiritual leaders. And she said, but my last one, I was a soldier, such as yourself, and I was shot in the back. And she says, do you have a back injury or that they can't explain? And I said, well, yeah, I've had a right in the middle of my back. It hurts since I was a kid, and even now, even today, it still hurts. But there's really no reason for it to hurt. And she said that's where you got shot, and that's why you don't like war, violence. So it's and I'm curious to see if you, when you said that the guy got shot, was it in the throat? Did you?
I cannot wear a tie.
I was going to say, did you have like an issue in that area where he was shot?
Not
like pain or nothing.
Not except that I cannot wear a tie or even a shirt. I can't stand something that is on my neck like that. But it's one of the many details that I discover when I start investigating. But you know, I am a kind of schizophrenic because I don't believe myself. I don't believe my intuitive self. Serious in my work as a journalist,
right,
that I only believe fact, even when it's happening to me. It takes me a lot of time, a lot of shamanic practice to start to open to my own subjective feeling and emotion and world. Mm-hmm. But before that, I need fact to comfort myself that I'm on the right way. So when it comes to past life, I had sometimes people, psychic that I met, who tell me things, but it came to one ear and go out on the other because I don't have any fact to relate what they say. But this time, 1 year after, my return from Peru, I start to get my research and I find an historian who tell me that for each German officer during the World War II, we may have a military file. So he advised me and he explained me how to do on the military archive. And I wrote to the military archive, and after a couple of days, I received a file, the official military file, 78 page, about Alexander Amann's career in the military, the German military. So this was a lot of information, but I don't speak German, so it started to be a little bit complicated for me to investigate this file. But fortunately, I was helped by a historian. So I sent him the file and he translated a couple of the major information. And that night, he sent me an email with the major line from the file where the Alexander Amann was born, in which city, in what his parents were doing, in which battalion, he was in the army, etc., etc.
Right.
And at the end, he told me about the death certificate who was in the file. And the death certificate said that this Obersturmführer Alexander Hermann died in Russia on October 20, 1941, from a wound in the neck.
Wow.
So when I wrote that, I mean, it was like a truck just drove me. It was a shock, because from that very moment, it was not possible for me anymore to say that it was a coincidence. The name, the surname, the rank, okay, it could still be a coincidence, but not this detail about his death. So suddenly everything changed in my life. And from that very moment, I decided to investigate very seriously and to dedicate my entire time on this, because it was scary. I mean, it was scary because this guy, Alexander Hermann, was Obersturmführer in the SS division during the World War II in Germany. He was belonging to one of the worst group of men in the old history. So what the hell I have a link with this guy? I mean, I am a good man. I am not racist. I dedicate my entire career and my work and my soul to try to explain the difference as a journalist from any place in the world I've been. I'm trying to bring intelligence on the situation I'm working on. And those guys was totally the opposite. So what kind of link I may have with this guy? Why he appears like that in Peru? What's the connection with me? And of course, in my mind, I had this idea of past life. Could it be my past life? Or maybe the other option was I may have been a kind of a temporary psychic in Peru, and I just get information from a ghost wandering around. But what a German ghost would do in Peru, so far away from Europe and Germany. So after some days and some weeks, finally the idea of this vision could be a vision of my past life get more and more strong, because I start to notice all the little bizarre things happening in my life today as Stefan Alex, who could be a kind of who could be linked with a life of Alexander Hermann. It's like I'm the total opposite of this guy. I was very young, fascinated by war, not to do war. I never wanted to become a soldier. I wanted to become a journalist. I wanted to see war and to try to understand why people are fighting. From very early, when I was 16, 17, 19, I start basically my work when I was 19. I joined the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. They were at the time fighting the Russian. Mm-hmm. And some journalists were going secretly inside Afghanistan with the Mujahideen. So I did it without even telling my parents I was going there. And I started my work as a war correspondent in Afghanistan in 1988.
Wow.
I wanted to see that. I wanted to see how people can fight each other. I was not fascinated by war as someone who like it or someone who want to participate in it. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated to understand how people could behave badly, to the point of killing another guy. So today, I understand that in some way I wanted to understand this part of me that was Alexander and fought like that, because Alexander was in the SS fighting division.
Right.
So he was never engaged in a concentration camp. He was fighting in France, in Czechoslovakia, in Poland, and then in Russia, where he died. But still, those fighters was very tough, very narrow-minded.
Right.
They were totally, totally engaged in, I don't know if it's proper sentence in English, sorry, but they were totally messed up with the propaganda,
right,
the Nazi propaganda. So,
well, we see that today. I mean, it's manipulation, and also propaganda does affect, you know, people's outlook on life and, you know, just society. And how easy was it to retrace Alexander's life? And during that retracing, how did you, I mean, what was it about Alexander's life that made you go, oh my gosh, that makes sense in my mm-hmm. life, how I feel? Like you said, you're complete opposite of who he was, but how do we know what was going through his mind? Maybe he was like, I don't understand this, but I have to do this because otherwise I get killed.
Oh, yeah. I had the military file. I finally discovered another military file. Mm-hmm. So I had something like 150 pages of data about mm-hmm. his life. Many, many detail. I knew he was married. I knew the detail about the history of his wife. Mm-hmm. I knew where he was stationed. So I was able to have a very clear view of his life months after months. I mean, it was precise that much. Then I went to Germany. I don't speak German, but I needed to go there to try to find maybe family, if he still had family today. I didn't know if he had a children. It was very mysterious, because in the file, in the military file, sometimes it was mentioned that there was a children, but I didn't understood if it was his own children or someone else's children. So I needed to clear that. So I drove to Germany, and I basically went to all the place he have been, the place he was born in Plauen, which is east of Germany, in Berlin, in Munich, in center of Germany, Aholzen, where he married. And I was able, after a couple of months, with the help of the historian, I was really able to understand his own life, but also the process of being a young boy, ambitious boy, born in the 16 and grown up in the 20th and the 30th century, in 1930,
right.
Just before Hitler came to power. And finally, I was able to identify that basically something that is frightening. You know, the Nazi were not only a group of criminal and psychotic people or evil people. It was an entire country became Nazi. I mean, a majority of German, millions of young German became Nazi and elected the Nazi.
Right.
Hitler came to power because he was elected. I mean, not directly, but his Nazi party won the parliamentary election in 1933. So this is also the reason why I decided to write this book, because this book is not only about my own story and my own relationship with Alexander. This book is also about the question of what do we do when we are when we're born in the wrong country at the wrong time. How do we decide what is good and what is not good when we are confronted in a society where those value are not obvious? And this is a very tough question, because if we believe, oh, here today, me in France and you in the US, oh, we are in the safe country, we don't have to fight, fortunately, so I'm sure I won't do bad things in case I would have been born in Germany.
Right.
This is dangerous to think that, because you don't know. You really don't know who you are deeply. You don't know if you have or not a very shadow space in your unconscious. You don't know how you would react in a very dramatic situation. And I wrote many books, and one of the book I really, really impresses me the most was written by an American by the name of Carl Malantis, This guy is a professor of philosophy at Yale. I mean, he was at Yale, but he was also a Marine Corp. He went twice in Vietnam as a Marine when he was 20. And he wrote a book about war. But war, when you are in it, the real war, not the war from a distance, war as you can see as a journalist, you are far away from the danger. You are not obliged to kill. And this book really impresses me because it appears clearly that basically we don't know who we are, and we it's very important to for us to oh, I'm sorry, I'm losing my word in English.
That's all right. That's all right.
Sorry for that. Yes.
I'm a country boy, so I don't speak English that well either. So,
sorry for the listener. If
I can understand it. So if I can understand it, pretty much anybody can. So,
thank you very much. That's
of course. Nice. Well, I have a question. So, how discovering a past life, just not just you, but anyone, discovering a past life, because it sounds like majority of us have many past lives, and you discovered one. And it made a huge effect on you. How does one learn from the past life before and the one before and one before? Because it sounds like we bring a lot of the emotions of what happened to us, of what we did to other people into the next life, like what we're living now. But how do we correct that? How do we fix, you know, if somebody killed somebody, but we come to this life, we can't bring that person back, but how do we heal from that ourselves? And how do we help the world in general?
I have a very therapeutic approach. I mean, if something is bothering you in your life, you need to investigate it. Maybe it's related to a past life, maybe not, but it could be. It could be, because sometimes we could be really obsessed by our behavior or thought or emotion when there appears like if it was coming from another place of ourself, not ourself, but from another dimension. I don't know to say, but probably maybe of the listener, many of the listener may have had this kind of experience. Sometimes you have a normal life and suddenly you have a thought or you have a kind of a recurrent obsession or melancholia or whatever, or thought or phobia, for instance. And you don't understand why you have this phobia of water or car or taking plane or any kind of phobia. Everything that is disturbing your today's life could be coming from a past life. Mm-hmm. Not necessary, but it could be. So if nothing is bothering you, I mean, there is no need of trying to investigate past life, because it seems that you are made of many life, but you don't inherit it from a problem from previous life, problem or trauma or whatever.
Right.
But if in your life today you have trauma, you have phobia, you have problem, maybe doing an investigation with a psychotherapist could be worth it to do, with hypnosis, with some other altered state of consciousness therapy. I mean, there is many tools today to investigate your unconscious and the other realm of your higher self.
Right.
But I would say, yeah, only if something is wrong in your life today, it's worth to try. If everything is okay,
so
no need.
One thing that also we always ask is, God, you know, I feel so small in this world. I have no purpose. I don't feel significant. You know, so that leads us back to the question: is the purpose of the discovery of who Alexander was? So, did he have a purpose other than just being a Nazi that was fighting in Russia and got killed? I mean, what was the purpose for his life? Was it to experience, to help you in this life, or what do you think that purpose was? And your purpose, what do you think your purpose is?
For him, I don't know. For me, I build my purpose. I build it, and my purpose is to try to clarify my internal world as much as possible. The more clear I will be, less confused I will be, less confused about why I take such a decision, why I go this direction in life, why I behave like this, and et cetera, et cetera. The more clear I could be about my internal motivation, less confused I am.
Right.
And I think this is one of the major purposes in life, to work on decreasing the confusion of your mind. Because I believe we have a soul. Soul is kind of a piece of light. But since we born again and again and again, the soul is covered by an identity. Today it was Alexander, today it's Stefan. This identity is not me. It's just the cover, something that is covering a soul.
Right.
But when I look at myself in the mirror, I believe I am Stefan, but I'm not Stefan. I'm just covered by Stefan. The problem is that my brain, my Stefan brain, is working so well crashing totally the expression of my soul. My soul cannot speak. My soul cannot see, cannot right. behave, because it's totally buried under Stefan. So I think for me, the purpose of life is to try to look at myself in the mirror in the morning and say, okay, hello, Stefan. I know you are not only Stefan. You are much more than this. And I want to try to see you. I want to try to meet you. I want to try to not to behave of because I okay with the I think Stefan in his life when he was born inherited from trauma, from emotion, from culture, from many parameter who drive him to behave in such a way. But this is only one lifetime. This is only one right. individual. And my purpose today is to try to identify in what I'm doing every day, what is coming from Stefan and what is coming from my soul, because my soul know better what should do. So I don't know what was the purpose of life of Alexander. I think he was very young, totally cut from his soul, from his spiritual part, like millions of Germans at the time.
Right.
He was just taken in the group, in this violence, in this hate, in this craziness of this time, and he was not able anymore to think of his about. By himself, he was just a kind of a little dot in a big, big, crazy government and crazy time. He was not able to think of himself, and I think his death was a kind of relief, because sometimes you are trapped in your life, and it seems that there is only death who freed you. I have a lot of love from an American guy by the name of Ram Dass. You probably know him. He was a professor of psychology at Harvard, but he was giving too much LSD to his students, so he was fired from Harvard, and he went to India, and he became a spiritual leader by the name of Ram Dass. And Ram Dass say in one of his book, it's very good that we die, because time to time we can kind of restart again, and it's good.
Well, you know, I don't know if did you ever see the movie Ghost with. It popped into my head for some reason, but when Whoopi Goldberg was pretended to be a psychic, and then when Patrick Swayze's ghost came to her for, you know, help, this was the first time she actually did hear a voice. But once that realm opened up, all these other spirits came to her wanting to get in contact with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Alexander has opened up this realm to you, have you had any experiences of other past lives that you know, you're like, wait a minute, that's not Alexander's dream, that's not our vision that I see, I'm now in India or I'm in Australia? Have you had any other experiences since this happened?
Not that precise. And to tell the truth, I mean, the investigation and my experience with Alexander was so difficult that I'm not looking very much to start again with another story. I maybe try to block it from the moment. But I mean, I feel more, not really psychic, but I feel more sensitive.
Right.
As I told you, I lost my brother 20 years ago in a car accident, and my father also passed away a couple of years ago, and I feel them sometimes. I am not sure, I cannot prove it, but I'm enough aware of my own functioning today to observe that when I feel my brother around, it's very different from my imagination or my mind wandering. It's something different. And I am also very lucky to live in a countryside, so I am living in the forest, and I have a lot of connection with nature.
Oh, nice.
And I observe since a couple of years that I became more and more sensitive. For example, a couple of months ago, I was just having my breakfast, and suddenly I said to my wife, okay, let's go down the garden. And we have a huge garden. And I didn't know why I wanted to go down the garden. So when we arrived at the down the garden, we realized that there were people from the city who was cutting all the trees there.
Oh no, so the trees were just crying out.
it was like if the trees call us, go down to stop this guy because they're cutting us. So, okay, I understood that many people could say it's a coincidence, but such a little things happen many times today, and I observed that, you know, I really was able to move from this rational journalist to a more sensitive person and to pay attention to it, which is very important. Because, you know, I think it's really what I learned from this investigation with Alexander. We are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
We believe we are alone, and we believe sometimes we can suffer from loneliness. But I was so blocked sometimes in my investigation that some people advised me to ask for help in the universe. So before that, I was thinking to myself, okay, it's good. I could ask help, but maybe I will try to work. It will be more efficient. But this time I didn't have choice. So I really asked help, and I received it. And I received it. I mean, in this investigation, it was like sometimes, it's weird to say, because Alexander is most probably my past life, but I had the feeling he was also present at the moment, helping me time to time in my journey. I don't know how it's possible to be both my past life and still be a spirit somewhere. Maybe it's because when you become a spirit, when you go after life, you go out of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into quantum physics, but maybe it's interesting things to go there. But
do you feel that, because I know you mentioned in your book that you felt like somebody or something was helping you in your search, do you feel like, you know, it was Alexander? Do you feel like there was a guardian angel, as we some people call it, guiding you to your own healing? Do you feel that that was possible?
Oh yeah, basically, because you know, this investigation, this story is really, as you mentioned, it was a really healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I had something inside me that was bothering me for years and years and years and years. I didn't know where it was coming from. I thought it was just me. I thought it was something was just broken in my mind.
Right.
And suddenly I realized it was my heritage from Alexander. So this process of meeting him, of investigating on his life, helped me to dissociate my life from his life. So finally, I was able to understand that some part of me that I thought it was me was not me, was him. So it helped me to cure it. It helped me to relieve this this confusion and this pain. Mm-hmm. And probably I helped him also because this guy, basically, he participated in one of the most criminal time of our history. So
right.
I think he was full of shame, full of confusion and violence. And I think my work also helped him to forgive himself and to go on his own healing process. Maybe it could sound bizarre that I'm speaking of him and not me, but really I have the experience of this both reality. It's a part of me, but it's also something out.
Mm. Well, I only have two more questions. First of all, a lot of times we've heard this all the time, you know, a young child, 3 years old, starts saying, "Mama, I was Bob Smith in another life," and they end up finding out who Bob Smith was, like you found out. And then they find pictures and you're like, "Oh my gosh, that looks just like, you know, Bob," now the current kid or adult, they look alike. Did you, or even similarities, like pick the same wife's name, or was there any similarities like that? Did you ever find a picture of him? Was his wife's, you know, name similar to your wife? I mean, was there any similarities like that?
The picture is on the cover of the book, and we put my picture and his picture, and
there are similarities.
People say there are. I don't know. I mean, it's not to me to say that. The other similarity, when I was young, when I was at school, my name is Alex. It's my family name, but some friend at school were calling me Alex. And Alexander's nickname was Alex. His mother called him Alex. So it's a little detail. I don't want to make a big story out of this, but
right.
When I read in my investigation that his mother was calling him Alex, it struck me. It was again one little thing. But I don't know if we are looking like each other.
You have similarities. Yeah.
I'm double his age today.
All right. So the last question here, and I know we got to get going here, but so you accessed your past life through going through Peru, working with shamans and, you know, beats of drums through meditation. But if there's a lot of people out there that have not accessed their past lives or even know how to do that, but not everybody can go to Peru, or how not everybody can meet with a shaman or even believe in it. But how does people access their past lives, or if they're struggling on if they want to or not, or if they're even experiencing these visions like you and just don't know what's going on? Maybe you can give them a little advice.
I think we have today in the US and in Europe a lot of different school of psychotherapy who can help you that to clarify that. You know, Peru and shamanism is just one way to make your mind silent, to access other realm. But there is many techniques to make your mind silent. Meditation is one technique. Mm-hmm. Hypnosis is another technique. Many other techniques can be used for that. So my only advice would be to ask psychotherapists to help you, because it's a process that may open up something you are trying to put unconscious your entire life. And there is good reason for that. Your mind is not stupid. Your mind is your best protector. So if your mind is trying to hide your memory, putting it in your unconscious, it's to protect you. So if you open this memory, it's good to do it with a psychotherapist who know how to deal with emotion, who know how to deal with all this material that could be very disturbing. So you may know a psychotherapist. Try to find maybe on spiritual website or I'm sorry I could not give precise reference in the US, but I would try to find a psychotherapist working in transpersonal psychology, for instance. There is one idea like that, but a psychotherapist open to this realm and open to this reality could be a real help for you to investigate.
Wonderful. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for bringing your book to life and sharing your story. I know it helped change your life for the better, and hopefully people out there that are having experience like this, that now they can be inspired to heal instead of take on, like you said, a man of Alexander going through one of the worst periods in the world's history. So yeah, thank you for doing that. So where can people find the book and pick it up and follow you and all that good stuff?
Oh, I guess you may find the book on Amazon or any bookshop in the US. And the best to follow me is to go on my Facebook page, Stefan Alix Official, because I have another website from the Institute I created, but it's only in French, INRES, INRES.com. But it's only in French. I'm sorry for that.
That's okay. Yeah, we'll have to learn French just so we can read. Go to the website.
the book it's better because the translation is very great. The translator did a great job. I mean, as far as I can judge, because I read it also in English.
Right.
And it's I'm very happy to share this story because it go deep into the meaning of our life. And I thank you very much, Tony, to give me the opportunity to present it today.
Of course. And thank you, everybody, for joining Truth Be Told. We really appreciate you in the morning. Usually we do the afternoon, but since our amazing guest is in France, there's a little time difference. So we wanted to make sure we accommodated that for you. And but please subscribe, share this show, share your own stories. If you have your own story, please put them in the comments. We'd love to hear about it and appreciate it. Every Friday, tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific. And follow us on all of our podcasts. Visit our website, Truth Be Told. And please subscribe to our new IG account, Truth Be Told Paranormal. And until then, thank you guys so much for always supporting us. And we appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. Bye-bye.